friend we've known through the Church of God for over 40 years who has not attended the Feast of Tabernacles or observed the Holy Days for a number of years. This year, attended an independent feast site. We were delighted for a little while. Then he continued with a description of the sermons, in which one of them, the speaker's opinion was, the hierarchical form of government is wrong. Ministers, according to this gentleman, are merely teachers and have no leadership role. Now, I have no trouble seeing the need for authority. Before the church, for a number of years, I was a policeman. When, although locally appointed by the county, I was invested with authority by the Crown. For many crimes, I exercised a power of arrest. I did not always have the cooperation of my customers, but I was always able to compel them to comply with my lawful right to detain using any appropriate force required to fulfill my duty as a guardian of the law. Incidentally, a teacher is not much of an instructor if order and discipline is not maintained in the class. As I said in conversation with the gentleman who was telling me about his experience at the feast, we have all experienced abusive people in authority. It's part of our shared history. And as Mrs. Devine frequently says, you do not throw the baby out with the bathwater. We've got an awful lot of dirty washing in our past. We must place ourselves under God's government. There are some people who are just clones of Diotrephes, the man John referred to as loving to have the preeminence. We have a high priest who is seated on the throne with God the Father. Anyone in authority must be aligned with his authority and faithfully complying with the law of God. And the traditions established in the church by the apostle, sent to restore what had been lost for centuries, and have had to be restituted in preparation for Christ's return. Jesus Christ is high priest. Those who overcome with him will be kings and priests. Right there, we have a hierarchical form of government. Satan persuaded Adam and Eve they did not need to be under God's authority. They could decide for themselves. So for 6,000 years, mankind has been under the authority of Satan. When anyone promises you freedom, beware. Anyway, anarchy, which is the opposite to government, is a terrible condition to live under. Just look at this so-called Arab Spring. Look at the freedoms enjoyed in Libya, Egypt, Syria, Iraq. The freedom to be raped, murdered, pillaged. If we have freedom from authority, everyone else has freedom from authority, and there is no protection. Even the man with the gun has to sleep at some time. We should be under the government of God and be receiving the benefits of obeying God. It's a two-way street. The example of human history, the examples, plural, of human history, horrendous. We have the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church. It has a hierarchical form of government. It's in the image of the Roman Empire. Any little bit of knowledge of the Roman Empire, it was an horrendous system. Evil. The top 5% lived in absolute luxury. Everyone else was a slave. No wonder the concept is very popular with the elite today. God's church does not follow that system or form of government. The relationship with God is as a family. That was trashed a few years ago. It was ironic when we started to have the catchphrase, "We are family," coincided with the time when the church, the corporation, ceased to be a family. Note what Christ said in Luke 22, verses 25 through to 30. Luke chapter 22, verses 25 through to 30. Well, start in 24. And there was also strife among them. These are amongst his disciples, the ones who became apostles. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors." Like the good old godfathers, they protect you, but at an horrendous price. And Christ continues, "But you shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. He that is chief, as he that does serve. For whether is greater, he that sits at meat or he that serves? Is not he that sits at meat? But Christ, I am among you as he that serves. You are they which have continued with me in my trials." Temptations, trials. "And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." An amazing promise, but it will go to the one who serves the most, not the one who demands the most, not the one who inflates themselves like some bullfrog, making the loudest noise, demanding. A minister does not exercise lordship over the congregation. The congregation is called the heritage of God. A shepherd has a duty of care to guide by instruction, and to be an example. Many abuses arise from the laity, the congregations, putting the ministry on a pedestal and seeking the approval of men before God. It's not all the ministry's fault. It's the way they've been treated by people who want advancement for themselves. I was so embarrassed once. A senior man asked the minister, this is many years ago, it's not in our current fellowship, "What deodorant should I wear?" Please. This was a man of higher education, a professional, but he was so eager to please. The poor minister was embarrassed. A minister has authority to protect the flock, to ensure the services are conducted decently and in order. No, I mustn't make a comment. He is a servant responsible to God and answerable to God, not a vicar in place of God. Paul warned the elders at Ephesus. Let's look at Acts chapter 20, verses 28 to 31. Very sobering. Acts chapter 20. Paul is saying goodbye to the elders he's been working with. Verse 28. Take heed, take warning unto yourself and to all the flocks over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Overseers. To feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. It's God's church. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Them. These false, deceiving men. There are many men speaking perverse things to draw away disciples for themselves. We need to recognize the voice of Christ and follow him. He will lead, not drive. You have to follow. If you find you're in a situation where you are being driven by so many sheepdogs, Alsatians snapping at your heel, you're probably in the wrong place. Neither will a faithful minister use deception. We experienced one congregation where a man, when he was about to tell a lie, would say, I cannot lie, because liars have no place in the kingdom of God. Condemning himself. Let's have a look at John chapter 10, verses 1 to 5. John 10, starting in the first verse. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them. He goes before them. He doesn't drive them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I wish it was as clear and as easy as that. There are many strangers out there who masquerade as God's ministers. We must acknowledge there is leadership in the church, but do not follow thieves and robbers. We need each other. The congregation, we all need each other. We cannot do this alone. We have to learn together. We need the support of each other. For a minister to be effective, he needs the support and the financial assistance to do the job, to keep the message out there that we receive through Mr. Armstrong. It's not something we can do by ourselves. There are a number of feast sites, I beg your pardon, there are a number of websites which preserve Mr. Armstrong's work, but there is no minister at the back of it. They do a faithful, fantastic job, but there is no support. It's just so many voices amongst so many different things. We can know who faithful ministers are by their fruit. Do not remain in abusive relationships. Obey God, not man. We have direct access to God by prayer. The throne room has been thrown open to us by the sacrifice of Christ. We need the support of men, but we have direct access to God. We're told in one place to work out our own salvation. I'm not talking about being a solo Christian. We have to work out our own salvation, but doing it together. Don't let anyone take your crown or make merchandise of you. Fear God, not men. There are people who terrorize congregations. The story we heard from Mr. Pippi was horrendous about an experience of someone he knew. And yet these people still have followers. Always remember the statement quoted, I will quote. It's a statement in the booklet, Just What is an Apostle, on page 90. It sets it out better than I can say it. A minister must be a faithful steward, carefully aligning his own words with those of the apostles sent to us. We must be like Timothy, faithful to the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ. That way, we can acknowledge the hierarchical form of government, remain faithful to God, and support each other.